Eastern Hills, welcome. We are so glad that you are here with us as part of your weekend this weekend. Before we get started, I want to give you a quick update on our lead pastor search. This past week, our search went live with Agora, our search group. They let us know that already that morning, 5 a.m., they started getting applications and resumes from people, and there is a ton of interest in someone who wants to be our next lead pastor. So, yeah, for sure. We are super excited about that. At the same time, this is when we go into kind of like the no word nothingness part of our search. While they and our search committee are working through vetting all of those people, lots of resumes mean lots of people to dig through. So today, as we get started, I would love for us to pray for the people at Agora, to pray for our search committee here at Eastern Hills, and to pray for that person that God is calling to be our next lead pastor. So would you join me in prayer as we get started here today? God, thank you. Thank you for an opportunity we have to be here together on a Sunday morning. God, I just pray right now for the person that you are calling to be our next lead pastor. God, whether their resume is already at Agora or whether they don't know it yet, but you're pulling on their heart, God, whatever that looks like, we just trust you in the middle of all this. Lord, I want to pray for Agora, the people that are working for them, working with us, and I specifically want to pray for our search committee here at Eastern Hills, the people that you've chosen to have choose our next lead pastor. And God, we just thank you for your leading and your guiding in this whole process. Would you give wisdom to everyone involved? Lord, we just know that you have the perfect person for us. So we love you and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Hey, that update, some other things, go to ehills.org/weekend. There's a lead pastor transition button there. You can see all of that stuff there. Now today, we're continuing our Come and See series that we started last week. The idea being, as we lead up to Easter, this is the time for us to be inviting people. Like Johnny said, people who maybe aren't willing to come to church, they're willing to come at Easter. So perfect time. Let's learn about what it means to say, come and see to the people around us. And last week, Lisa kicked off the first week. She did an amazing job. If you didn't catch it, go back, watch it. You can check it out on our YouTube channel. Just want to catch you up real quick, though, because she talked about how many of us, if not many of us, at least some of us, we are here today because someone invited us. Someone invited us to be here. And years ago, when this whole following Jesus thing was getting started, that's how it all started. Jesus said to a few people, come and see. And they came and they checked it out, and then they went and told other people, and then they went and told other people, and they told other people. And honestly, that's why all of us are here today. See, in the beginning, the goal wasn't about understanding something. It was about experiencing someone, and that person was Jesus. Then Lisa talked about how even today, when people look at us, they should see our experience that we've had with Jesus, that it's a show and tell. It's not just tell. And she used this line that I just think is so good. A living example is better than a lengthy explanation. A living example is better than a lengthy explanation. That's gonna be kind of a part of what we're talking through today. And you understand that, right? Like, you found a new cool vacation spot, Or a new restaurant that you've never been to and it was so great. And you come back and you tell people about it, but then you tell them, you gotta go check it out. Or you invite them to go with you, right? You don't say, oh man, I had dinner at the best place last night. Let me tell you all about it. Don't go there, you get it now, right? No, they need to experience it. They need to understand it. So that's where we're gonna talk through today. And we're gonna kind of switch gears and we're gonna talk about the how-tos of inviting. Specifically, I want to talk to you about who to invite and when to invite them. See, a few weeks ago, we talked about the fact that here at Eastern Hills, we want everyone to invite everyone to experience that Jesus makes life better. And if you're like me, even when I say that, I'm like, well, I mean, everyone? Like, think about how many people we interact with in a week or even in a day. Like, I'm just not gonna invite everyone, right? So how do I know who I should invite? Because it's kind of overwhelming. And even for me, as somebody that's supposed to be doing that and supposed to be leading this as the reach out pastor, like it's difficult to know. So today, I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna see if I can help you figure out who we should invite, when we should invite them, and why we think this is important, okay? And the way we're gonna do that is we're gonna talk about who's and cues. The who's, the people that we're supposed to invite, and the cues that we might hear from them to know that it's time to invite them or that they're the person we should invite. Now, if you remember, Jesus basically said to all of his followers at some point, come and see. And that's how they started following him. And then they said to other people, come and see. And the story that we're gonna pick up today is Jesus and his 12 disciples, these friends of his that are following him around that he said, come and see to. So they start off on their adventure with Jesus, right? And one of the first things that happens is they see Jesus do a miracle. He turns water into wine. And then they walked around a lot. They did a lot of that. Then they ate meals together and they walked some more. And then they saw Jesus get mad in the temple and they saw him heal people. They walked around. They walked a lot. That's constantly they're telling about walking around. And then they saw it all though, right? And then one day in the Bible, John tells us in chapter 4, he tells us this story. They're traveling through Samaria and we hear this story. Now, remember John is an eyewitness. John is one of those 12 dudes that's walking around with Jesus. And so he's writing about this, but he also was there. He experienced it. And so Jesus and his friends, they're on this like 3 or 4 day journey and they stop in Samaria. John tells us Jesus was tired. He decided that he was gonna go off by himself, spend a little time, let the disciples go into town to get some food. He was gonna kind of like recharge. And now this isn't the first time this had happened. Jesus would constantly like get away to spend time with God the Father. And so not the last time it's gonna happen. Like there was nothing really out of the ordinary here. Disciples go into town, he stays and just kind of hangs out to get some time away. That's where we're gonna pick up the story in John chapter 4. It says this, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, he sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Well, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Everything totally normal up to this point. This is where the story gets odd, okay? So here's the deal. Jesus is at the well when the Samaritan woman came to draw water. Now, this is what was odd about it. Jesus was going to the well in the middle of the day because nobody would be there. In these times, what people would do is they wouldn't come to the well in the middle of the day. They would come in the evening. It's hot, they're in the desert. In the middle of the day, it's too hot. So they would come in the evening, draw enough water to get them through the entire next day, and then they'd come back the following evening. So Jesus is there and he's trying to get away from everybody. And some of you, you can relate to this, right? Especially you introverts that are with us today. Like you've been around people a lot, right? A lot of people, too much people, you are done with people. Like maybe all week long people, all weekend long people. And you have decided that you are going to get in your car and you are going to go to your local Starbucks and you are gonna get yourself a little cup of heaven and you are going to sit in the comfy chair and just chill. And hopefully not the comfy chair with another comfy chair next to it, the one that's by itself in the corner, and it's gonna be great. And this is your plan. And then when you walk into the Starbucks, they are there. And you know who they is, right? They is that person that's gonna have a long conversation with you. They is that person that is going to wanna sit in the second comfy chair next to you and talk to you while you're trying to drink your latte. And see, that's what Jesus experienced. He wants to be there by himself. He's just trying to recharge, trying to get some time away. I don't think this is what Jesus had in mind. I also don't think this is what the woman had in mind. Because here's the deal. She was also going to the well in the middle of the day for a reason. And that reason was that she had a past. She had a past, and that my guess is that she wanted to avoid everybody that came to the well in the evening. She wanted to avoid the gossip, the awkward stares, the mean looks, the people whispering behind her back. So she came to the well every day in the middle of the day so that she didn't have to deal with anybody. And here, this day, she comes and some dude is hanging out at the well. Not only that, she can tell right away that it's a Jewish guy. Now, see, here's the deal. Jesus was a Jewish man, and this woman is a Samaritan. And we've talked about this in the past. Jews and Samaritans do not get along. They would have nothing to do with each other. Not only that, men and women really didn't even talk in public back in these days. So they would have not even thought to acknowledge the other person, not even realized that they were there, pretended like the other person wasn't there. But in this situation, Jesus talked to her. He asked her for a drink. Now, she couldn't even believe it, right? She responds. She's like, you can't ask me for a drink. But the truth is that Jesus had a reason. See, there was something that cued him to engage with her. So he went on to talk to her about living water. He talked to her about quenching her thirst, about eternal life. And it was clear from her response that she didn't understand what he was telling her. So the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water." See, she didn't understand. So Jesus decided to try a different approach. He brings up a subject that most of us probably would not have brought up. This is a subject that, to be polite, you would have avoided. Not Jesus. Jesus just leans right in. He told her this, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Now, I'm sure at this part in the conversation, she's thinking, like, where is this conversation going from here, right? It's a little weird. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had 5 husbands. The man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." Dang, Jesus, really? I mean, come on. You know, this is, you're just being mean, right? Now, can I just tell you this? Just to clarify, this is not the application part of our message today, right? I would not recommend you going about talking to people in this way at all unless you are the Son of God, unless you're Jesus. This is not a good approach. But I do think that there's something we can learn here, because Jesus saw, heard, he knew something that caused him to engage with her. Now, certainly, being the Son of God, being all-knowing, yes, that helped. But there was more to that. Jesus, he saw a cue. And from Jesus' perspective, this was the perfect opportunity to talk to her. Jesus did this over and over again. He seemed to have cues about who he was going to engage with, who he was going to talk to. And I think that we can learn from this. I think there are cues for us of who we should engage with in the world. And definitely, it would be helpful to be the Son of God and know everything about the people around you. But that's not it. There was another cue that Jesus picked up on. The fact that she was at the well in the middle of the day would have been a cue to Jesus that something was up, that things were not going well. And he picks up the cue and he leans in. So we can do the same thing. Now, get this, a little rhyming for you this morning. We know the who's by paying attention to the cues. You like that? Yeah. See, Phil would have loved that. He was always about rhyme, not me so much. But there's a set of cues. There's a set of cues, and I'm not saying these are the only things, but I'm going to give you some of these cues, and I think that if you pay attention, these cues will tell us the who's that we're supposed to invite. Now, if you have that string that you picked up in the back, take that string out. I want you to grab it now. Here's how I'm going to help us remember this, okay? And I've got a piece of rope because it'll be easier for you to see out there. But three things, and I have to say this. I did not make these up. These, I remember the first time I read them in a book by Andy Stanley. He's a pastor in Georgia, and he described these, and as the reach out pastor, as the guy that's telling you to invite people, and I'm trying to invite people myself, these were so helpful. And I was like, this is pure gold. So here's the deal. This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna talk about three cues, and all of them begin with the word not, okay? N-O-T, not. And what we're going to do is we're going to tie a knot in our string for each one of these. So I want you to play along. I want you to tie a knot, K-N-O-T, not, yeah, the other one, in your string. And the first knot is this. The first cue is that we should invite somebody when we hear things are not going well. This was Jesus's cue. Like, Jesus understood what he saw and what he heard. He realized that things were not going well for this woman. And some of you know people right now in your life, your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, that things are not going well for them. Some of you have been in this place yourself before. Maybe things were not going well in their health. Maybe they're dealing with the loss of someone around them. Maybe it's their marriage. Maybe it's they've hit a bump along the way. Maybe he left. Maybe it's in family. Maybe they have a teenager that seems to be getting in a lot of trouble and they're not sure what to do about it. Maybe there's an strained relationship with another family member. It just seems to be weighing on them all the time. Maybe it's someone you know and in their career, in their business, they don't feel fulfilled. They're not having any success. They feel stressed out. Maybe it's just that their boss is being a jerk all the time. They're not sure what to do about it, but things are not going well. That's a cue for you and for me to invite that person. And some of you are thinking, like, wait a minute, Kendall. You know what they're gonna say to me? They're gonna say this. They're gonna say, what does church have to do with my boss being a jerk, right? Like, how's church gonna help that? You should invite my boss to church. He's the one that's a jerk. Like, he needs church. I don't need church. See, here's the thing. I don't think we even try to answer those questions. The answer to the question is this. You know what? I don't really know. I don't really know what your situation has to do with this, but I've been in a spot where things were not going well in my life, and I'm just telling you that my faith in Jesus has made a huge difference. It has helped me. And I don't know exactly what that has to do with your situation, but you should come and see. See, here's the good news. This isn't about you being the savior of the world. This isn't about you having all the answers. This is about you knowing the savior of the world. And it might be that your well-timed invitation to this person in the midst of a season where things are not going well, it might be that in the middle of that, God is going to use this situation to help them experience the Savior of the world, the person that can change and fix their difficult situation. And some of you, this is your story. Things weren't going well. There was something going sideways in your life, and someone came into your life. They invited you at the exact right time. They didn't have all the answers, but you showed up, and you started to pursue a relationship with Jesus. That's the first cue. When things aren't going well, that's your cue to invite somebody. Second one, go ahead, make another knot in your string. I know some of you have already tied three knots. You're an overachiever. Great job. Just humor me. Second knot. This knot is that you know somebody who's not prepared for something. They were not prepared for this. Maybe it's the person that got engaged and said, I don't know how to be a husband, or I don't know how to be a wife, and I'm gonna need some help with this. I can tell you about this in my life. I think Sonia would agree that our oldest boys are 14 months apart, and we didn't have kids until about 7 years after we were married. And I remember being called home from work numerous times because a three-year-old and a four-year-old were terrorizing my wife. I walked in one time, found Sonia in the hallway between their two bedroom doors, holding doorknobs from both sides, crying as they should have been taking their naps that afternoon. See, here's the deal. We were not prepared for this. Not only that, we were not doing well. We were in both categories at that point. But side note, I have to tell you, I am so grateful because around that time, and this is a truth story, we, along with some people that we knew, we went to a parenting seminar here at Eastern Hills, and we learned about parenting your children according to their temperaments and how to best parent them. We learned from a counselor and from being together with other people that were in the same situation that we were in. And maybe the people that you know, maybe they have something similar going on. They have they've gone from two kids to three. They can no longer play man-to-man defense. Now they're playing zone, and they can't figure that out. Maybe the kids starting middle school and they feel like they're losing control. Or maybe their kids are all out of the house altogether. And they sit down and look at each other and say, we were not prepared for this season. Our whole lives revolved around our kids. This is a perfect time and a perfect cue to invite them to come and see. And when you invite them, the who's that are showing you the cues, when you invite them, you're gonna get objections from them as well. Like, what is a transition in my life? What is me not being prepared? What does that have to do with God, church, the Bible, any of that? Same answer. I don't know, but you should come and see. And if it was me, this is what I would say. I would say, when Sonia and I were not prepared for what parenting and what our experience was like, we found help in our church, in a group, a community of people that were in it together with us, and we worked through it together. See, there's people in your life that are having the same experiences, and you're not sure if you can help. You know you don't have all the answers, but you inviting them to come, you inviting them to come and see might just be the thing that God uses to intersect with them in their lives, leads them to experiences that help them feel prepared. Now, you can see these first two knots that we've tied, these are kind of pivotal circumstances in someone's life. The third one is a little bit different. And before we jump into that third knot, I just feel like I have to acknowledge something here that, you know, might be a little awkward in the room. Because there's a chance that some of you today, somebody invited you here. And you're looking down the row at them right now, mean mugging them, because you're like, which one am I? Am I the one who's not prepared, or you think things aren't going well, right? And instantly you feel like a project. Here's the deal. Let me just tell you this. You are not a project. Someone invited you because they love you, because they care about you, and they want you to experience what they've experienced. Which brings us to the third knot. Tie your third knot in your string there. This one is that the person that you're thinking of, they are not in church, or they are not involved in a church. And if you're here today and somebody invited you, that might be the reason that they knew you weren't in church and they wanted you to have the experience they've had. And here's the one thing that I need you to know. If you're here and you don't currently go to church, you're not involved in church, church isn't your deal, this church was started with you in mind. If you don't consider yourself a church person, great. We actually built this building. We purchased this land. People gave to make that happen. The people that serve in all of these environments, in kids, in Lacuna, out in our lobby, in here, all of those people, The people that helped create this church from the very beginning, they had you in mind when they started this church, because here's what we wanted. We all wanted to share our experience with people that church is a barrier for. We wanted to share a different type of experience where people could come and see and experience what we've experienced, that Jesus makes life better. And the truth is, for some of you, that was you. Before you met Jesus, you couldn't imagine wasting your time on a Sunday morning, right? Going to church over and over and over on the one of your 2 days off on a week? That doesn't even make sense, right? And some of your friends, they're the exact same way. They're just not involved in church. And let me tell you this, I get it. Have you ever thought about this? Because what we're really competing with is every other enjoyable alternative use of time there is on a Sunday morning. So if they like to play golf, if they like to go skiing, if they like to go camping, they like to go shopping, they like to do weekend projects. I don't know what's wrong with them if they like to do weekend projects, whatever, but they like to go to the pool, they like to hang out on their boat, they've gotten their kids out of bed early every day of the week, including Saturday, so they can get to soccer, and Sunday morning rolls around and they can sleep in and not do anything. That's what we compete with on Sunday mornings. Some of those things are the things that people can't imagine giving up or trading in to show up here on a Sunday morning. And here's the deal. Many of us were in that place once until somebody invited us to come and see. And we experienced something. Actually, we experienced someone. And now we can't even imagine this not being a part of our weekly routine. Coming, experiencing Jesus with everyone else at church. See, it doesn't have to be about you having a problem or dealing in a difficult situation. It could just be simply that you've decided you're going to invite someone that is not in church to experience something that you love. And you might say, well, I could never ask them to give up their Sunday mornings. Why not? You give up your Sunday mornings. Don't you want them to have the same awesome experience that you have? See, my guess is this, that some of you are here today and somebody invited you. They invited you because they value you, because they care about you. They wanted you to come and see something, experience something that they couldn't explain. Jesus needs to be experienced, not explained. And here's the truth. The truth is that these cues, they help us to know who to invite. You see, when we pay attention to the who's, then we know the cues of who to invite. When you pay close attention to people around you, you'll pick up on these cues. So I told you, I was going to tell you who. I just did that. Three different places. These are the who's. I also told you I would tell you when. So I guess, if you're following along, that would mean that we have who's, cues, and when to's. That's good, huh? That was Johnny. I got that one from Johnny. So, okay, when should we invite them? Super quick, easy answer. Next Sunday. Next Sunday is the best time to invite someone to church. Not Easter. Although Easter is a great time to invite people to church. Invite people to church on Easter. Not Christmas, not Mother's Day, not when we have a new lead pastor. The best time to invite someone is the next time church is happening, next Sunday. You know why? Because here's the deal. We overthink this way too much. I do too. When I'm inviting something, this is what I want. I want it to be the perfect day. I want it to be the beginning of a series. I want the message to be great. I want it to be super relevant about like getting rid of worry or stress in your life. Do not talk about finances when I invite someone to come to church with me. I have favorite songs that I want Jackie and the band to play and sing. For certain people, I want there to be baptisms that weekend. For other people, I don't want there to be baptisms that weekend. But guess what? None of that matters. You know how I know that? Because here's the deal. Our staff, week after week, person after person, story after story, God uses the most ordinary things. God uses the smallest, the simplest things to impact people's lives. A smile by a volunteer in the lobby, by someone holding the door. A kind word as someone spoke life into their child like nobody's ever done before, and they watched their kids light up as they walked out of a kid's environment. A single lyric in a song. Casual dress of a come and see culture. Even the opportunity to just sit and listen and be anonymous. The list goes on and on. There's so many different things that people tell us was the thing that intrigued them about taking a step towards a personal relationship with Jesus. When you see a queue, you should invite them the next Sunday, because you have no idea what God's going to use. He's way bigger than what we think. Now, the best way to illustrate why you should do this is to read the rest of the story of the woman at the well. This is my favorite part of the story. This is how the story finishes. It says this: just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" See, I believe that by this point, these guys had seen so many times, they realized Jesus is working with a different cue sheet, right? He is engaging with people they never would have engaged with. He's breaking societal norms. And I think that they're learning. I think that they're starting to pay attention. John goes on, "Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, 'Come, see.'" The same thing that Andrew did when he followed Jesus, he went and found Peter. The same thing Philip did when he followed Jesus, he went and found Nathaniel. "You gotta come and see this." She says, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" She wasn't even sure. She wasn't even sure. Can you imagine for her what it was like to go back to town to tell them? I don't know how she told the story. I imagine it went something like this, right? "Guys, you've got to hear this. Check this out. I was at the local watering hole." That's what they would call it, right? I mean, "I was at the local watering hole and I met a guy." And they're like, "Oh yeah, you met a guy. We've heard this story before." Five times, actually, right? No. She's like, no, not like that, not like that. "But you got to understand this. I met this guy. He told me everything I ever did." "Excuse me? What? Told you everything you ever did? Let me just tell you this. If I met somebody who told me everything I ever did, I would not bring them to introduce them to my friends." Right? For this lady, honestly, she had every reason not to go back, not to tell them. But something about her experience with Jesus made her tell them, "You gotta come and see." Maybe you remember this when you started following Jesus for the first time. "I've got to share this with somebody. I got to tell somebody. I got to tell everybody." Then John says this. He says that many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. They believe just because she shared her experience. Do not miss this. See, nobody can invalidate your story or your experience. You tell people that you're decided to follow Jesus, here's what's gonna happen. They can argue theology with you. They can argue what you believe versus what they believe. They can talk to you about dinosaurs, whether they were real or not, whether or not Noah floated around in a boat, whether or not Jonah was in the belly of a whale, all of those things. We can debate all of that, but what you can't debate is your story, your experience that Jesus makes life better. They couldn't argue with her experience. She invited them based on what she had experienced. She just said, "I don't know. I don't even know if this is the Messiah. This is just my story. So you need to come and check it out. You need to come see for yourself." Many times, Many times that is all that's necessary for someone to be intrigued enough to just come and check out God. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. Because of his words, many more became believers. Check this out. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves." In other words, because of your willingness to share your experience, we came. We came in because of our own experience. Now we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. See, an experience with Jesus changes everything, not an explanation about him. See, I believe that God has placed people into your life around you, the who's. They need to hear your experience, and you need to pay attention to the cues. See, what changed everything for those Samaritan people, it was not the lady's experience with Jesus. No, that's what intrigued them enough to come and have their own experience with Jesus. That's what changed everything. Because experiencing Jesus for themselves changed everything. Because experiencing Jesus for yourself is what changed everything. Pay attention to the who's and the cues. Now, before we close, my guess is that I've been talking, someone has popped into your head, came to mind. I believe that God has put them in your life. And I believe that you need to pay attention, because there's going to be a time, there's going to be an opportunity, a moment coming, opportunity for you to share your experience, an opportunity for you to tell them to come and see. And we don't want to miss that opportunity. We want to seize that opportunity to tell them to come and experience Jesus for themselves, the Savior of the world, the same way that you've experienced him on a personal level. Now, I'm going to close in prayer in just a minute. And then we're going to take communion together. And you might be thinking, oh, great, I invited someone. Now we're going to do this kind of awkward, weird communion thing. Sorry. But really, this is one of the most powerful things that we do. It is a reminder of how much Jesus loves us, about how he gave his life up for us. So after I pray, the band's going to sing a song. During that song, go to one of the stations. They're in the back row. They're up front here. Pick up the bread and the juice. Take it back to your seat. We'll eat and drink after the song is over. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you for this time together. I just thank you that you told people years and years and years ago to come and see. And that we're here today as a result of people just continuing to pass that word down. Lord, I pray for the people in our lives that we know right now, things are not going well. They are not prepared for what they're in the middle of, or they're not going to church. God, would you show those people to us? Would we be aware and invite them to come and see? God, thank you for the challenge of this morning. Thank you for the encouragement. We love you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.